previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
7:15, you with Wayne Lee and Charlie T. Good morning, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Activity in the studio this morning because we have someone that we've never had the opportunity to chat to on this show. We've seen him on television. We've seen him on stage before. And he joins us in the studio on Algoa FM Breakfast this morning. He's been called South Africa's most astute political commentator by The Economist. His work appears in Bloomberg, The Financial Mail, Times Live, and he's been named by The New Yorker as one of eight of the most fascinating Africans of 2012, alongside a sitting head of state. He's an award-winning author, TV host, and the kind of analyst that doesn't just read the political room. He wrote the book on it, literally. Please welcome into the studio Justice Malala. Good morning, Woo! Sir.
Morning.
And we can quite confirm, also all-round general nice guy within Lacker. Minutes. Within minutes.
It's time to celebrate as well. Meet Ace, or should I say Just Ice?
Just Ice.
Justice.
I don't know who Justice. Does the intros in this thing.
Justice. Just would like to apologize in advance.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
In advance, would like to apologize.
But can I just say, you know, it's so weird hearing your intro to me, and you think, how did they know that of all the Africans, how many are we here? A billion.
That you are the most fascinating.
I'm in the top eight. Talk about scientific studies. Anyway.
Where did they get that from?
No, they went around and said, you know, well, no, not fascinating.
Listening to you now, I can tell you probably one thing that came into play in terms of the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably your accent, because they probably thought, what black man is this who sounds like a German?
Look, I don't tell my wife, but, you know, she thought I sounded a bit French, a bit American. You know,
in Afrikaans, they call it the brei.
Anyway, welcome to Algoa FM.
Thank you.
To have you. We can't keep you here too long because you're off to a talk this morning. You're giving a talk at the Radisson here in Summerstrand in Kobega. The title of that talk is From Scandals to Strain or Prosperity, with so much happening politically, both locally and internationally, globally. I mean, Justice, this is such a broad question. I mean, we didn't know last Saturday we'd be waking up to the news of
bombings in Iran.
Exactly. What does 2026 and beyond look like to you right now?
I'm going to have to speak to a room full of people about this. And I've thought long and hard, and I keep on saying, just be careful, Justice, of saying this is going to happen, because how do we know? It's so hard. So just a couple of weeks ago, someone that I've been to PE with, that we've shared a stage, who I respected a lot, a guy called Clem Santa. Clem passed away, and I'd done these road shows with him over about 8 years, and I'd followed him around, and he'd talk about red flags and white flags, and red flags are always, watch out, this could be, it's not looking too good. And then, you know, sometimes the flag is down and it's okay, go ahead and implement and start your business and so forth. So I think for me, 2026 is very much something that reminds me of Clem, because it's full of all these red flags, and we've got to navigate them. We've got to say, what does it mean for tariffs for the Eastern Cape if there's new tariffs from the United States? What if Donald Trump wakes up in 3 days or 5 days or 2 days and says, you know, I saw yesterday Cyril Ramaphosa gave an interview to the New York Times in which he said this man is basically racist and so forth and so forth. If he wakes up today and reads his fake news Sunday New York Times.
I was just going to say fake news.
What he calls the fake news New York Times, it's going to be, maybe I should go after this guy. It's a red flag. And so And so we'll get into that with the talk. Just talk about, you know, what are the things to watch out for? What are the things you should be preparing yourself for? And what are the things that, you know, the thing is that when you talk about red flags being up, people start worrying about, oh, it's all bad. But, you know, there are some very good things happening. Business confidence is coming back up.
Is it though?
Yeah, some of it. I think here in the Eastern Cape, you'll see the manufacturers are not that happy.
Mm.
And so you have this weird thing where at national level, everyone's saying, oh, you know, South Africa's turning the corner, it's going to be good. And then people are saying, ooh, look at the factory closures. Look at what we're going through. Look at the tariffs. We need to do something. And so, you know, you have to look at where you are to find a way through. So we can talk, you know, we'll have a big fight and a debate about all those things.
Well, I mean, money is a big determining factor in terms of how many of us experience the year. You know, by the end of 2026, depending on how the financials looked, we would be able to either raise a red or a white flag. And the recent national budget got strong praise, some economists rating it a 7.5 out of 10. Does that give you real optimism, or do you think that we might be popping the cork a little bit too early?
I'm not happy with the fact that too many people are agreeing that, oh, this is good. I think we need a few more cautious people in our system. I'm one of those people who thinks it was a 7.5, even an 8. I think that, and for me, the background is that for the first time you have a budget that's not an ANC budget, but it's a budget of the government of national unity. Mm. For 32 years, you've had a situation, 31 years, you had a situation where the ANC won 69%, 64%, 62% and was master and commander. Essentially, you couldn't introduce a new bit of policy without the ANC having to rubber stamp it.
Mm.
For the first time, you have a negotiated budget. You have a way through for South Africa to 2029 that's not just one party. And I think that brings some semblance of sanity, of consideration for others into the system. So I think what we saw with the budget last year and being thrown out and postponements and, oh, it's the end of the world, to this year and an adoption that was so smooth, I think that's a huge positive. In fact, that would be one of my positive flags for the year. If the government of national unity stays, if you think it's staying together, then I think South Africa is looking good for economic growth, for stability, for the ability to withstand some of the pushes, if you will, from the Trump administration. And so I think this is a good start. I think you're absolutely right when you say, is it really that good? I think there are red flags on manufacturing, on exports, and I think those need to be addressed. I think that the fact that we don't have an ambassador in Washington, D.C. is a big, big negative for us. We just don't have someone in play for South Africa. I think all those need fixing. But I would say if the GNU stays together, I think it's a big positive. If the GNU starts to break down and it will come under strain as we go towards local government elections, then I think we should all open our eyes and say, what's going on?
You touched on some of the highlights for you in particular and also on factories earlier. What has been on the radar of local business this past month, would you say? And let's start with some of the lowlights, if you can.
I think the low lights, you know, South Africa is driven very much by sentiment. How do I put it? I think when we tell ourselves a good story, we do well. South Africa, we've had to tell ourselves stories, the Rainbow Nation, or the Boks are doing well, or the Bafana Bafana.
I see what you did there. No justice.
And don't even
no
say
justice.
The process is.
No justice.
The truth will set you free.
yeah. But I think the lowlights the big lowlight politically has been that we've seemed to be stuck, and are not getting out of the funk that we've been stuck in. So people are not happy with, oh, it's Ramaphosa and we're going to be happy, it's 2019. You know, we forget in 2018, the rand went to 14 to the dollar. It was like, okay, Ramaphosa's here. And then it went belly up and it went to 19 and nearly 20, I think, and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
The past year, we've struggled with, come on, let's go. But I think a response to Trump and the U.S. and the changes in the U.S. has not been adequate. We haven't known what to do. We haven't responded fast enough. And I think that's been a drag. I think for manufacturers in this region, for example, it's what are we doing with the Minister of Trade and Industry about protecting industry in South Africa and therefore protecting jobs? And it hasn't always been clear. It's sort of, we're going to China and we'll begin new relationships with them. But at the same time, you're opening up and letting Chinese product that might not be positive for South Africa and South African jobs to flood the market. And so it's not clear what we're doing. So I think that remains a low light. I think that's people like the electricity minister sort of saying, guys, we need to give rebates on electricity, give cheap electricity to our manufacturers so that things can get going. But I think those are small islands. I think we can do more, a more coordinated approach to industry and to trade.
Mm.
Before we move on to global issues, one last question around local issues. There's been a lot of talk about Helen Zille becoming mayor of Johannesburg.
Mm.
Do you think it's a possibility?
2 weeks ago, that in Johannesburg, Helen Zille went to a place called Lindbrow Park.
That's right.
Right in the middle of the street, there was this burst pipe and a massive, massive pothole, and water was pumping out, and she dunked herself in this pothole and sat there. And it was on the same day that so-called white suburbia in Melville, other parts of Joburg, Westbury and so forth were out. There was no water. There had been no water for weeks. And in Johannesburg, it's not, oh, you know, we don't have water because it's not raining or this. It's lack of maintenance. It's lack of leadership. It's lack of political leadership. And so when she did that, a lot of people said, ah, I told you, she's on it. She's put up a big sign in Mamelodi in Pretoria saying, look, the premier is going off to have a shower at the hotel while you are stuck at home, no water for your kids. Your kids going to school, your teenager going to school with smelly armpits. And people are saying, you know what? This is something I could listen to. So I'd like to take a bet with you.
Yo. What does justice say? What is it? To answer these questions directly.
I'm still waiting.
Yes or no?
I'm waiting for the answer here, though.
I'm saying, if you show me a 20 rand note now, then I'll take a bet that come November, October, when we hold our local elections, I think Helen Zille is going to surprise many, many people and may very well be. Did I hedge my bets nicely there?
may very well be
the new mayor of the city of Johannesburg. I think that people are, to use a South African word, heartful with just lack of delivery. There's a lot of issues around Helen Zille. There's, you know, all her tweets, the play acting with racism, all kinds of things. But I think a lot of people will look back and say, where the city of Cape Town should work, it works beautifully. And she was part of the beginning of turning that around in the 2000s. The Western Cape as a province, she was premier of that. And she is styling herself as someone who will come and fix just the basic stuff.
Make Joburg great again.
It's not exactly what I was saying, but I hear you. I don't think you'd object to it, actually. I think there is a lot of MAGA going on there. But I think for the Joburg voter, wants a city that works, that's safe. And I think the ANC, which is in power now, other parties which have been in power, including the DA, haven't quite got there. And I think the recipe that she's putting forward now, winning is about resonating with the people who will turn up on the day to vote. And I think she's resonating with a big heartfall movement. Mm. And that movement will turn out on the day and vote for her.
Hmm. Lee or Justice may do that 20 rand EFT.
The problem is I don't carry cash.
You see, she doesn't want to pay.
I don't carry cash.
You should have gone.
I said if she shows me a 20 rand note, I'm not taking any other kind of currency. Yeah.
And also should have gone high with a 20 rand because that EFT, that would be the bank charges alone.
Justice, we're talking locally and you had quite a bit to say on the local front, so let's move across abroad. I've counted, you've mentioned his name 6 times, Trump.
Only six times.
And you've mentioned MAGA as well. But moving abroad, much to the joy of our producer Cornelius, who follows American politics quite a lot, how will the Iran, US and Israel conflict in the broader Middle East developments after affects SA trade and Nelson Mandela Bay, specifically Nelson Mandela Bay?
I think we have to prepare ourselves for several things. The first one is that why did the attacks on Sunday happen? If you listen to Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State in the U.S., he says, Israel was going to attack and Iran would have attacked us back, and so we had to preempt and attack. Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth, who's the defense secretary, says, no, we needed to take out their missiles. Donald Trump has his own reasons for why the attacks happened. So you don't know why the attacks happened this time at this particular point in history. And I don't think the U.S. has made up its mind why it's there. Donald Trump said last night that, no, I want to be part of the selection of a new leadership. Is that why the U.S. is involved? Why is this war going on? If you don't know why you're in a place, how long are you going to stay?
Yeah.
Donald Trump has said 3 to 6 to 5 weeks, maybe. I think we face a situation where the Middle East is going to be a point of conflict for far longer than the 5 weeks Donald Trump says. That means that places like where we are today, South Africa in general, there's prospects of inflation because oil will inevitably stay probably high for a significant amount of time. So some of those impacts will begin to come through to South Africa in general.
Ripple effects.
Absolutely. And so I think we have to prepare ourselves for do we call it a war? A regional conflict that's going to last a bit longer. Even if the bombs stop falling, the missiles still stop hitting Tehran or Lebanon and so forth, I think when the first day of the conflict involves a school of 165 kids, schoolgirls, being hit, I think there is so much hate and there are so many effects of that that it will take other forms. It will not be, we can sit at our base and send in a drone and kill people. I think there'll be bombs on the ground. I think that we should prepare for quite a conflict. And I know this is not good news, but it's
It's the reality.
It's the reality. I just want to reference 4 years ago in February, someone said, in one week, I'm going to have a special military operation in Ukraine. That was Vladimir Putin of Russia. Same thing. 1 week goes by, a month goes by, a year, 2 years. And here we are 4 years later. The Russians are still fighting and bombing Kiev and other parts of Ukraine. They said we'll be in there in a day, in a week. These wars don't always, they have ways of staying with you for a very long time. And so I think it's time. I think it's going to affect us for a whole bunch of time. For many of us, you know, expecting interest rate cuts and so forth, that may not be.
That may not happen now. May not happen. And obviously, with the oil prices escalating, it means our petrol, diesel,
and then everything else.
Listen.
Okay, that's a lot of doom and gloom. Let's just lighten things up.
It's Friday today, guys. Yes. It's Friday, just by the way.
Yes. Before we let you go, Justice, you know, with the New Yorker having voted you as one of the 8 most fascinating Africans, let's do a quick round of rapid fire questions to get to know the man behind the political commentator. So please just answer the first answer that comes to mind, okay? Very quickly.
This is not good.
It's going to be lovely. Window seat or aisle seat on a plane?
Aisle seat.
Playlist, podcast or silence?
Silence, I think.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset, for sure.
Oceans or mountains?
Ooh, half and half.
Good book or a good Netflix series?
Oh, good book.
Pirates or Kaiser Chiefs?
Kaiser Chiefs.
News
Four
first
games
thing.
In a row.
News first thing in the morning or late night news junkie?
Oh, first thing in the morning news.
Suit and tie or track suit and tackies?
Suit and tie.
Serious political debate or good South African comedy?
Good South African comedy.
Woo! Yay!
Well, if the mountains and the ocean, you can just go to Cape Town. You've got Table Mountain and the ocean.
Yes,
right,
that's
there.
What I was thinking about. Exactly.
Or you could stay right here in Kebega.
You could.
Oh, listen to that.
Justice Malala, thank you so much. Time has run out, so we could chat for a long time.
For days.
We'll let you be.
You've got your function coming up in a few minutes.
If they give you any grief for you being a little bit late, you can just direct them to us.
Yes.
All right,
we'll do that.
Tell them it was Algoefin Breakfast's fault. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your insights. It's been wonderful having you on the show this morning, and
absolutely,
we look forward to plenty more conversations going into the future, particularly perhaps with the local government elections coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be great fun. So, you know, the doom and gloom aside, you know, these elections are going to be exciting. I hope people turn up for them. I hope we become really South African in that way, that we know we've got a job to do and we go out and do it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Justice Malala on
Algoa FM
Breakfast.
Thank you.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.